News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. At airports around the country today, travelers face long lines and flight delays as security officials enforce new restrictions on carry-on luggage. It's all because of the terror plot that British officials say they thwarted early this morning. This hour, a look at the effect on air travel. What are the new rules and how will they affect you and for how long? We'll do our best to answer your questions. And if you're flying today, tell us your experience with airport security. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. And we'll start in London with John Prideaux. He's with The Economist magazine, and he joins us by phone from his home in London. Thanks for being with us, John.
Thank you.
What's the latest information on this plot?
Well, the latest information we have is that throughout the day, police have arrested 21 people that might be subject to change. They think that the plan was to bomb somewhere around about 10 planes to set off explosives in midair and send them into the Atlantic. The attacks were apparently not meant to be coordinated so they'd all happen at the same time, but were meant to happen in a wave. And the security services say that they think the plan was to put this into action sometime in the next few days.
Now, apparently Pakistan helped with this investigation. What's the Pakistan connection?
Well, the security services here are saying that there may be some link with Pakistan. We don't know much more than that yet, and it's a little difficult to speculate on these things. Certainly, last time around when there was a successful attack on London, a lot of the early speculation turned out to be false. There was speculation that the bombers then had some form of sort of mastermind, if you like, who had maybe planned the attack and given them some weapons training. And it later turned out that the attack was a pretty low-budget operation, cost about £8,000 or $15,000. And it was something they'd mounted themselves. So you're right, there has been an assertion that there may be some link with the terrorist organizations in Pakistan, but we don't really know much about that yet.
U.S. officials have said this resembles the work of al-Qaeda, although continuing to look into that connection. What do we know about that, and why would it be said to resemble the work of al-Qaeda?
Well, I think it would be said to resemble the work partly because of the high impact. One thing that we do know about al-Qaeda is that it's a sort of media-savvy organization in the sense that it has a well-developed sense of sort of what's needed to really terrify people in the West. People are, you know, assuming that the bombers were motivated by a similar, you know, sort of Islamist ideology. Having said that, I think people aren't that no one's really sure how centralized al-Qaeda is anymore. So though it may be sort of in the style of al-Qaeda, if you like, I don't think anyone's saying yet that the order sort of came directly from Osama bin Laden, say.
And it must be evening there by this time. What's the situation at Heathrow now?
It is evening here. It's about 7 o'clock in the evening, just past. And the situation in Heathrow is that planes are starting to get going again. It's taking longer to get people through the check-ins because everyone is being individually searched. People aren't being allowed on planes with hand luggage, and they're only allowed to take on the kind of essentials, so, you know, wallets, passport, and tickets, money, those sorts of things. They are being asked to discard, in particular, any fluids that they might bring on board with them, because the security services told us earlier anyway that they were concerned that there may be some new type of explosive that was designed to be used in the plot that may evade most sort of airport scanners that are in place at the moment. So that's why they were telling passengers to discard any fluids, contact lens solution, shampoo, any of those things they might have in their hand luggage.
Any idea how long these restrictions on carry-on luggage and liquids will continue? Is it indefinite at British airports?
No, we don't know yet. And the British authorities at Heathrow have said that there'll be delays tomorrow. I imagine that's partly because Heathrow has very tight schedules, and as soon as you start delaying some planes, things further down the line get delayed too. But I think also these special measures will be in place for a little while. I think probably not indefinite, but for the next couple of days at least.
And what about other British airports? Have they been affected as well?
Other British airports have been affected, but not so badly. And there's been some flights were cancelled at Gatwick Airport, and there was some disruption there. But it's mainly centred on Heathrow, which is still London's main airport.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us, John.
Thank you.
John Prideaux with The Economist magazine. He joined us by phone from his home in London. Back here in Washington, Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff announced increased security measures at all U.S. airports. Joining us to tell us more about these steps is Tim Starks, intelligence reporter for Congressional Quarterly. Thanks for being with us, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
Let's try and get some things clarified for people. First of all, the threat level that now applies to U.S. flights. There's two different threat levels.
Yes, it used to be when they first started this color-coded threat alert system that everybody was on one color or, you know, not. It was there were no ways to engineer it so that you could have different threat levels for different circumstances or sectors of the economy. The last year or so, they've made some changes to it where they can raise the threat level to a specific situation. So for commercial aviation, everything has been raised to high or orange, which is one level above where we have been, which is elevated or yellow. And then for flights specifically flying from the UK to the US, it's red or severe,
right?
The highest it goes.
And the security measures that have been put into place, we already were talking to John Prideaux in London. Some of it is the same as what's occurring in London. Some, and there are also some differences about security measures in this country. Is that right?
Right. Everywhere in the U.S., they are banning the carry-on items that contain any liquid or gels, the shampoos, the suntan lotions, even, you know, toothpaste. There are some things they're letting on, baby formula, medicines. But it also seems to be varying by airport, from airport to airport. At BWI, the Baltimore-Washington airport, they're opening every carry-on bag that is passing through one of these terminals. And then there are different measures, of course, in place for the people who are going to the UK. They're told to expect some very extensive searches.
And from what I can gather, one thing that could be confusing is I think in Heathrow, you can't bring carry-on luggage, but that's not the case on U.S. flights. You can bring carry-on luggage, but you're supposed to, I think, declutter it is what the official said this morning.
That was the exact phrase they used, and also to tell you to enjoy your trip.
And there's a question, and let me remind our listeners, by the way, that we are talking about the new security measures at airports as a result of this terrorist plot, which was thwarted today by British officials. And if you have any questions about that, if you're traveling today or in the near future and you have some questions or comments, if you're at an airport today, give us a call, 800-989-8255. And I'm talking right now with Tim Starks. He's an intelligence reporter and an intelligent reporter for Congressional Quarterly. One of the things Secretary Chertoff talked about this morning also was concern about copycats. So how much do you think that's driving these heightened security steps?
Well, it could be that. That was certainly one of the reasons given. That is a legitimate concern. But there are also, one of the theories about Al Qaeda now is that, as the previous guest was discussing, they may not have as much control over these individual terrorist organizations that are inspired by them. There was a lot of talk that maybe the people who bombed the subways in July last year in London were not really actually affiliated with Al-Qaeda. There's a lot of debate about that, but that they were, you know, in essence, inspired by Al-Qaeda. So the copycat issue is one of the issues. The other is that this is one that they only acknowledged very briefly, that they're pretty comfortable that they've caught all the people who might be involved, but because of the sort of waves that they were planning on doing, they're just being safe and saying, you know, if there's a chance that we haven't caught everyone, we want to make sure that we're on a high alert for every potential person who might have been involved in this plot.
Secretary Chertoff also said that some of the new security measures, some of them are very visible and causing backups at the airports already, but he also said there will be some invisible security measures. Any idea what he's referring to there?
No, I think, probably one of them, and he mentioned these, so this may not exactly qualify, but the federal air marshals who fly on our planes are not supposed to be visible. They're supposed to blend in with the other passengers. So they've mentioned that they're heightening some of those numbers. They're sending some over to the UK, and in particular, they're going to be monitoring those flights from the UK to the US. So that's one example. You know, there's a lot of baggage screening mechanisms that go on out of the sight of the average airline passenger in some of these airports. There are probably going to be people roaming the actual airports past the checked baggage area, past the security area, who are going to be monitoring everyone for security concerns past those detection devices.
Is there? Do you know yet whether these new security measures are just temporary, or are these going to be long term?
Surely they're temporary. How long they'll go, no one said. In the past, when they've done these kinds of things, they never say, we anticipate that this will last a week or two. Typically, it doesn't last that much longer than a week or two. So I wouldn't expect it to go but a few days, a week or two at most, just based on the history of them. But there's no way of knowing exactly when they'll lift the alert.
So carry-on luggage is not necessarily a thing of the past.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Tim Starks is the intelligence reporter for Congressional Quarterly, and he spoke to us from his office here in Washington. We're talking about the terrorist plot uncovered in London and what it means for travelers at home. We're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. Send us an email to talk@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Pages for All Ages, books, music, cafe, and DVDs, located at the corner of Route 45 South and Curtis Road in Savoy. Pages for All Ages offers a wide selection of books, compact discs, stationery, magazines, DVDs, children's books, and gift ideas, and features a full line of coffee, drinks, and teas at Pages Cafe. On the web at www.pagesforallages.com.
You're tuned to WILL AM 580. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for Clark and Cumberland counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area until 8 p.m.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. In Washington this morning, U.S. officials held a news conference to outline new security restrictions they put in place because of the terror plot uncovered in Britain. They said the national threat level is now at its highest level, red, for U.S.-bound flights originating in Britain. All other flights are now at orange or high alert. Kip Hawley is Assistant Secretary of the Transportation Security Administration. He offered some tips for travelers.
Declutter your bag. If you let the TSOs have a clear view of what's in the bag with their x-ray, you'll move right on through. That is something very easy to do as you pack your bag. Leave the liquids at home, drink them, declutter your bag. And last, I'd say enjoy your trip. I think this is what TSA was created for, to be flexible, to work with others in the community, to scale up security where needed in certain areas and be flexible and adjustable. And we look forward to delivering on that commitment.
Kip Holley, Assistant Secretary of the TSA, at this morning's news conference. This is a big time of year for air travel. So we're talking about what new security measures they've put in effect and what that might mean for travelers. We want to hear from you. Are you flying today? And what's the situation at the airport near you? If you're not flying, do you have any questions about the new rules? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And to give us a better sense of how this will affect travel in the short term and further down the road, we turn to Scott McCartney. He writes the middle seat column for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us now from his office in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Lynn.
So enjoy your trip, the Assistant Secretary for Transportation said. That's kind of a tall order for today, don't you think?
Well, it is. But, you know, I think travelers have gotten very resilient, and we learn how to deal with new security procedures. And we know that security will ebb and flow with what goes on in the world. And so I think people will continue to travel.
Hearing, listening to what the new security measures are, the new restrictions, what's the best piece of advice you could give to someone who's planning to fly today, tomorrow, in the next few days?
I think the real issue that people are going to run into is the liquid issue. And look through your bathroom kit and see what you've got in there. I mean, there's toothpaste and cosmetics and hair gels and all kinds of things that can now be thrown away by TSA. Your options are to check that as checked baggage or buy something on the other end of your trip, or find another way to do it. You know, maybe your hotel will start offering toothpaste along with the shampoo in your room.
You know, also Secretary Chertoff said, you know, the easy it is for the people at the security gates to see what's in your carry-on bag, the faster you're going to move through. And I noticed pictures on TV show passengers in at Heathrow with plastic bags with just like a passport and a comb. Something like that. I mean, is that where we're headed here?
Well, I don't think we're headed to what's going on at Heathrow today. And I think Heathrow, there's a specific threat there, and you know, I think they're worried that there still may be people involved in this plot out there, and they may be trying to get on flights at Heathrow. So you know, until they catch those people, there's pretty draconian measures going on at Heathrow. If that were to spread where you couldn't take any kind of carry-on baggage on board an aircraft, then you would see a huge disruption in travel. But I think even in the UK, the thinking is that that's a temporary step until they catch these people.
We're talking about terrorism and travel plans. The number 800-989-8255. Let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you, Lynn?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Hi, I flew from Washington, D.C., to Minneapolis this morning, and I'm driving up to northern Wisconsin. I wanted to give you a firsthand sense of what it feels like, and I think some of your armchair experts, while their thoughts are welcome, the frustration level at the airports are very high, mm-hmm. in part because the airlines, when you check in, are not necessarily telling you anything, at least at Northwest. We were told nothing until we turned around and faced this really long line. And the TSA people are doing the best they can, but you've got a lot of very frustrated people who are throwing out expensive mascara. I had to call my kids' summer camps in Minnesota and Wisconsin. The kids will be flying home, hundreds of them, okay? To tell them that the kids should not pack their toiletries in their overnight bags. So I think the impact actually is going to be more the, you know, the tension and the uncertainty with the American public, and it's at a pretty high level.
Steve, did you know what was happening before you went to the airport? I mean, had you heard any news?
I had heard news of what had happened in England, but there was nothing on the news. Of course, I left for National Airport at 7 this morning, and I didn't hear anything about what you could or couldn't carry. Mm-hmm. As it turned out, I didn't happen to have any, you know, as they say, liquid cream or gel, you know, with me. But it reminded me, I flew out of National the day after it opened after 9/11, and it reminded me, unfortunately, of some of the inconsistencies. So I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just describing the reality and tell people, please be prepared to get there really early and to be frustrated. And I think the other thing is that we're not actually hearing from anyone in much detail why we're not supposed to be carrying liquids, creams, or gels. You know, it's kind of this, you know, very vague warning. So I think it might help if you get some experts on the show, Lynn, maybe ask them to explain what the precise nature of these particular precautions are aimed at.
Well, I am not an expert on this, but just based on my general knowledge of what is happening today or what is known about this plot, is there was concerns that these alleged terrorists, that these suspects that are in custody now in Britain, were going to bring liquids onto the plane that could have been explosive or could have been combined in a certain way to be explosive, and that can't be detected by normal security measures that are in effect right now, and so that is why people are being asked not to carry.
And in addition, by the way, you are also prohibited from bringing any liquids that you purchase past security, between security and the gate. If you buy a cup of coffee, a bottle of water, a soda, you're also prohibited from walking onto the plane with any of that, just so people know before they spend money.
Well, that was something I was wondering about, and I was going to ask Scott McCartney about that. Well, thanks for calling in, Steve. I want to tell you and the rest of our listeners also that we do have information about this at our website, if you want to go there, npr.org, that might be helpful to you in terms of making some of these decisions.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Steve. Thanks for calling in. So there we hear, Scott, that a lot of frustration from Steve that perhaps the situation is very frustrating out there.
It's very frustrating the first day. It'll be very frustrating, probably through the weekend. But people do adapt. We saw this with the shoe bomber after Richard Reid tried to blow up a plane in December of 2001. That forced changes in security procedures. People were confused at first. They were, they showed up at the airport unaware. The lines got long. People got frustrated. But eventually we all got used to taking off our shoes. And I think there will be some period of adjustment both ways. After the Chechnyan bombing, when we were forced to take off all coats and things, eventually TSA refined the rules, as they did after 9/11. I got on an airplane the first day of travel after 9/11, and disposable razors were banned. Well, now you can take disposable razors on. And I think you'll see the same kind of working through of regulations. Today they're not allowing you to take bottled water on an airplane. I suspect that over time, as they get better security procedures in place to screen merchandise that's sold in airport stores and things like that, that you will be able to buy a bottle of water at the airport and take it on. They've removed perfume and things from duty-free shops. And there are ways that duty-free shops will adapt to that. Perfume and liquids have to go as check baggage, or there will be different kind of security screening on them or something like that.
Well, to find out what is happening on the ground at least one airport in this country, we are joined now by Jay Field. He's a reporter with Chicago Public Radio, and he's joining us from Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Hi, Jay. Are you there?
Hi, Lynn.
What's the situation at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, one of the busiest in the country?
It is one of the busiest in the country. I was talking to an official from the TSA just a couple hours ago. They said that on an average Thursday, there are about 95,000 passengers who fly through here. This morning, it was pretty bad. This morning, the lines were really long. Passengers I talked to had heard on the news about the incident in London and had taken precautions, but many other people were learning about it for the first time when they got to the airport. A few of them actually learned about it from me when I asked them about it. The airlines contrary to what the caller from who flew from National Airport to Minnesota was saying before, the American Airlines, at least here in Chicago in Terminal 3, seem to be taking a lot of precautions to let people know what could be brought on the plane and what was now banned. There were, in fact, flyers taped to every single self-check-in kiosks, the kiosks that are now are, you know, fill the terminals in this country, and saying that we were at code orange here at the airport in Chicago and that all liquids and gels were banned.
And are you seeing, or is this causing huge backups at the security lines, or what's going on?
That was the case this morning, huge backups at the security lines. But I must say, by about 10:30 Central Time, things began to thin out a bit. In the domestic terminal, there were the lines weren't as long, and things were, you know, calmed down. It were moving rather smoothly. I have noticed a little bit of stepped up to security here. The TSA has called in people who were on, screeners who were on vacation and who were just had the day off, and then there are more Chicago police here than would normally be here.
Were you hearing any concern about flying at all? I mean, were passengers afraid to fly today?
I didn't hear that so much, frankly. You know, there were one or two people who upon learning of what had happened in London from me when I asked them, and were like, geez, that's, boy, that gives me pause. But I would say more of the people I talked to were just kind of resigned to this is the kind of thing that is happening increasingly in this post 9/11 era, where we have these incidents and the public has to endure waits and long waits and other precautions to ensure safe travel. I will say that it was an odd. People seem to be a little more worked up about just having to dump out all their toothpaste and shampoo and grooming products. It was an odd sight of in the terminal of people wheeling these huge dumpsters to the terminal, you know, filled with you know, the grooming products of our fellow citizens, if you will. It was sort of an odd view of what toothpastes and shampoos are popular out there these days.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for that, Jay.
I want to add one quick
thing,
if I could. I'm sorry. I just will note that I'm here in the international terminal, and the first flight in from London is about to come in here. So there are a lot of eager reporters and others waiting for those passengers to come in.
Okay. Thanks very much for joining us, Jay.
Thank you, Lynn.
Jay Field is a reporter from Chicago Public Radio. He joined us from Chicago's O'Hare Airport. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Scott McCartney, I want to read an email to you because it may be that we're going to have to repeat this many times today, but this is asking for more clarification. Please reiterate what cannot be carried on. I usually take a large carry-on shoulder-type luggage bag filled with all my cosmetics in smaller plastic bottles, shampoo, hair gel, face creams, hand lotion, sunblock, etc. How the heck do I leave these things at home? Please clarify.
Well, it's a very good question. The short answer is you're going to have to send that through as checked baggage, and some people, you know, may not want to do that. If you're in that bind, I would suggest that you ship it FedEx or some other way to the hotel where you're going. You're just not going to be allowed, at least for now, to carry on anything like that, shampoos, gels, liquids. We had somebody out at the airport with a bottle of Whiteout, you know, that we used to use to correct mistakes from typewriters, and that was confiscated from him when he went through security. So I just think, you know, there until the policy gets a little clearer, and you know, maybe what's going to happen is you can have 1 ounce of shampoo or something, or maybe, and I'm not an expert in liquid explosives. I don't know the nature of these things. I understand they can be quite powerful in small quantities, so maybe that won't happen. But there may be some sort of accommodation for small tubes of cosmetics, hand cream, you know, whatever.
Well, we're going to go across the country now to check on travelers in California. NPR's Carrie Kahn is at the Los Angeles International Airport. Thanks for being with us, Carrie.
Sure.
Now, I know there was a news conference at LAX earlier this hour. What did you hear at that news conference?
It's still in progress right now. We did speak to TSA officials early this morning, and they just said that there's heightened security, but we've heard at airports around the country. There was a large police presence. There still is here at the airport. Canine dogs, a lot of bicycle cops riding around, and every available TSA employee has been called into the airport. So there is a very heightened state of security here.
I think on the best day, LAX has pretty long lines for security. How are they today?
I've never seen anything like this before. I've sat through some of those long lines, but they were switchbacking inside the terminal and then out the terminal and outside along the sidewalk there for just long lines. I was in the Delta terminal, which I think had the most problems. There was some sort of security breach around 7:15 this morning to complicate matters even more, and they just shut down the security terminal for 2 hours. So people just sat there not knowing what was going on, and police kept coming in and coming out, and people were just very, very frustrated. I know we heard from Jay, who said that people were sort of taking it in stride, but where I was, I think people's nerves were just at their ends.
Yeah. Is it getting any better as the day goes on?
It is. They finally opened it up a little bit after 9, and so the lines were moving again. But people were still, you know, everybody had missed their flight, and usually when you come to the airport, you don't anticipate a 3 to 4 hour delay, and they're telling people now to come 3 to 4 hours before your flight. And a similar situation, you know, we saw everybody dumping out their shampoos or suntan lotion,
right,
face hair gels.
Carrie, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
NPR's Carrie Kahn, she joined us from Los Angeles International Airport. We're going to continue this discussion about new air travel restrictions after a short break. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Institute for Supply Management, source of the monthly ISM report on business, on the web at ism.ws. From Cleveland Clinic, a multi-specialty medical practice working to provide innovative treatments and help patients worldwide to face their conditions with confidence. And from Patricia Papper for the NPR Fund for New Initiatives, helping to develop NPR's new programming and new media. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This Week in This American Life. At the moment Anders died, he did not remember his wife, whom he had loved, before she exhausted him with her predictability. He didn't remember having his ribs kicked in by police at an anti-war rally. He did not remember when it was that everything began to remind him of something else. What he did remember, and other last thoughts and last words from Tobias Wolff, Luke Sant, and others this week on This American Life for Public Radio International.
Saturday at 1 and Sunday at 6 here on WILL Urbana.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Here are the headlines from some of the other stories we're following today at NPR News. Israel has taken control of a strategic city in southern Lebanon and warns that its fight against Hezbollah could grow wider and more severe if diplomacy fails. Israeli leaders have authorized a major new ground offensive to go deeper into Lebanon. However, a senior Israeli official announced the delay of that ground offensive to give UN diplomats time for a ceasefire deal. Such a deal has been delayed because of divisions between the U.S. and France over when Israeli troops would leave Lebanon. You can hear details of that story and much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, it's Science Friday, and guest host Joe Palca will be here. He'll cover the latest on the U.K. terror plot, plus a look at how our bodies cope with the summer heat. In a few minutes, will news of the terrorist plot scare you away from flying and hurt the airline's bottom line? But first, the new travel restrictions. And you can find more trips for travelers, what's allowed in your carry-on, what you should check in, and what you should just leave at home at our website, npr.org. Our guest is Scott McCartney, and he writes the middle seat column for the Wall Street Journal. Scott, I'd like to take some calls while we still have you with us. We're going to go to Nan, and she's calling from California. Hi, Nan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. My son flew from London Heathrow this morning. I hope he made the plane. He's 18 years old. He sent an email saying they were going to the airport early because they heard the news. And last we heard, the plane left an hour and 40 minutes late. It was Air Canada bound for Toronto, and then he had a connecting flight to San Francisco. So my concern is obviously their connecting flight. They're going to be late, but they're going to have 45 minutes layover now. I don't know what happens to their luggage. Will they search it all over again in Toronto, or how does that all work?
Scott, do you have any ideas about that on a day like today, where obviously there's going to be lots of delays? I imagine there's going to be lots of lost baggage or baggage left behind or going, getting there ahead of you. I mean, what would you recommend to travelers?
Get there early and just be patient. I believe with Toronto, you have to clear customs there, and in fact, before you're and you go through U.S. immigration in Toronto before you arrive in San Francisco. So he will have to get his bags and enter the country of Canada and then exit the country of Canada, and that can take some time. At the Toronto airport, you can also, depending on the flight schedule and all, there can be changes in terminals involved. So the good news is that airlines know this is going on. They're you know, trying to accommodate everybody that they can. Air Canada may have multiple flights to San Francisco. United probably flies that route too. He might get routed, you know, through Chicago or something like that. But they ought to be able to get him where he needs to go.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Nan.
Okay, thank you.
We have an email from Andrew in San Jose. We're supposed to drink or discard fluids, but what about duty-free items or other items purchased after passing through security? Will these be taken away before we can board the plane? What about that? Are they selling duty-free items? Or
no, they're not. As of today, the duty-free shops have taken perfume and liquor and all that off the shelves. I think that's it may be a temporary thing until they figure out how better way to deal with it. But right now, you can't buy that duty free.
So that's not even an issue.
Yeah, no. I mean, the theory is for right now, they don't want you getting on board an airplane with any kind of bottle of liquid, no matter where it came from, no matter where you bought it. You know, there's an immediate threat today. There may be some people out there with explosives that they haven't caught yet, and so those are the steps that have been taken. And you know, maybe when there are more arrests or more understanding or different procedures, things will relax a little bit.
All right, let's take a call from Janice. She's calling from Hampton, Virginia. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Janice.
Hi. Thank you, Lynn. I travel frequently, and my son does also. And there are, of course, a lot of things that annoy me and drive me crazy, and I hate taking my shoes off and the long lines and all the inconvenient things. But you know what I like? Getting there safely. And I appreciate that people care that I get there safely. And I don't care what kind of shampoo or perfume or a cup of coffee that I bought. I'll throw it all out because I really do appreciate getting there safely.
Right. And that seems to be, Scott, what you're saying, that people are sort of
right.
Getting used to this, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think very quickly. And I think that's right. You know, we've talked to a lot of people today like Janice who you know, understand that it's inconvenient and hassle, but they can also see evidence that, you know, this threat was real. And you know, you want to get there safely. people do adapt. One of the interesting things for the travel business is that as the hassle factor increases, we do see a drop in short-haul travel. And so, and that had been coming back some because of high fuel prices. But maybe more people for short trips will drive or ride the train or that kind of thing.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to you, Scott.
Sure.
Scott McCartney writes the middle seat column for The Wall Street Journal. He joined us from his office in Dallas. Today's news also has big implications for the airline industry. At a point when some airlines were finally starting to show a profit and recover from 9/11. For more on what this latest terrorist threat means for the airlines, we go to George Novak, an aviation consultant with Innova Aviation Consulting. He is also a former Federal Aviation Administration attorney, and he's with me here in Studio 3A. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, one early indication of what this might mean for the industry, the airline stocks dropped today.
Yes, they did. They dropped rather precipitously this morning. And I think we're going to probably see a little bit of that, but I think you'll see some reentry into the market today with some investors picking them up at what they believe to be the low point.
What does this mean for business, for the airline business right now?
It's bad news at a time when they were really looking forward to good news. They just finished an outstanding summer season, reservation season, which they're wrapping up right now. They're enjoying good revenues. A couple of the air carriers have reported their first profits in many years. And so this was a season of good news for them. What they did not need was anything which would discourage passengers from getting on board those aircraft. They need the revenue, and any bad news is terribly bad news for the airlines.
And we've been talking about some of these security restrictions as possibly being only temporary, but how does this sort of ricochet down into the future for the industry?
I think if passengers believe that it's going to be too much of a hassle to travel, if they're going to have to not take their overnight bags, not take their carry-on bags, which they can travel on without having to check luggage, they're going to look at alternative means of transportation, particularly for short-haul routes, as Scott mentioned. So that could be bad news for the air carriers. Also, people have gotten used to carrying bags on board in case of lost luggage, which happens frequently. And any restrictions on that, restrictions on what they can carry, they're going to think twice about travel. And again, that's bad news for the industry.
Yeah. And what will the airlines be doing to try and adapt to this? I mean, I can't help thinking as a passenger, you can't bring water on board. And yet we know that the airlines have been cutting back on serving anything to people. Do you think that one response might be to provide beverages, water, Again, provide that more regularly for people?
I think you'll see that. Now, given the history of the airlines, we may see it at a cost. You may see more drinks available, more service available, but at a price to the passengers, either built into the tickets or charging them for specific amenities on board the aircraft.
Let's see if we can take a call now. We're going to go to Mark. He's calling from Indiana. Hi, Mark.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Mark.
Hi. Yeah. I just wanted to follow what the other caller said. Is that you know, getting from one destination to another safely is the best thing possible. I'll throw my shoes out the window, but I guess what really is frustrating is that we have spent billions and billions of dollars building these detectors to pick up these explosives. Now all of a sudden we can't pick up a liquid explosive. I don't understand why we haven't thought that through.
Is that something that you can respond to?
I can. One of the things is the system is designed primarily to look right now for plastic explosives, the C4s and the Semtec explosives. It will detect the vapor detection devices, the explosive detection devices will detect liquid explosives. However, not every bag can be screened with that level of scrutiny. Therefore, both UK and FAA officials, or UK and US officials, have decided the easiest way to keep the system moving as of right now, as of today, is to ban liquids from the aircraft. There are systems in place which can detect these explosives, but it is a difficult and very, very time-consuming process. So right now, the best way to keep traffic moving is to prohibit any liquids from the aircraft.
And that's my thought also, is you know, we've got to invest this technology that we have to stay ahead of these horrible terrorists that are trying to kill us. And if we keep our traffic moving, we're going to keep the airline traffic going also.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. Now, George, the industry has been concerned about this threat of liquid explosives for some time, haven't they?
Yes, we've known about the threat certainly for more than 20 years. And there are incidents in with a Korean airliner in 1987, a Philippine airliner in 1994, and a raid on the apartment of Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines, where we discovered a plot very similar to this one to bring down 11 U.S. air carriers over the Pacific. Again, that was planned for 1995.
Yeah. We have an email here. What is the status of carrying computers, cell phones, electronic tools for diagnosing electric use, kilowatt hour meters, etc.? Some are too delicate to put into checked baggage. That's from Rana in Wisconsin. Any restrictions on that as far as you know?
From the UK, there are. Right now, if you're leaving or entering the UK, you cannot carry any electronic devices, whether it be an iPod, a laptop computer, anything. Now, in the U.S., that is not completely restricted right now, but they're going to be coordinating with the U.K. officials. I think intelligence that's garnered from these recent arrests may change that in the United States. Right now, you are allowed. They're going to undergo serious scrutiny, and use of those may be restricted further on board aircraft.
We are talking about terrorism and travel plans. The number here is 800-989-8255. My guest is George Novak, aviation consultant with Inova Aviation Consulting. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And we break away now from Talk of the Nation. You're tuned to WILL AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It is 1:52 Central Time. Let's find out what happened today on the Chicago Board of Trade and in Kansas City with some contracts. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thank you very much, Celeste. At the Board of Trade and in Kansas City, the slide in the grains and the oil seeds continues today. Futures in the corn pit were down about a penny. The beans were off anywhere between 4 and 7 cents for the day, and the wheat futures in Chicago were down 1 3/4 in the December contract at 481.5. That's actually the spring wheat in Minneapolis. It was down a penny and 3/4 in Chicago. The September wheat was down a penny at 387. Had a high price today at 389.5 and a low at 385. Settlement price there at 388. They were off one. December contract 409.5. The high, the low at 405.5. A settlement price for the hard red winter wheat in Chicago down 2 1/4 at 409 1/4. March futures 427, the high, the low 23.5, settlement price at 26.5, off 1 cent. And the May contract at 436, high, low at 433, settled at 436. They were off a half for the day. July contract 442, the high, the low at 39, settlement price at 442 1/4. They finished a penny and a quarter lower. From the Kansas City Board of Trade, September contract down 2 1/4 today at 469 1/4. Back in Chicago at the board, September corn futures were off a penny today, 238 3/4 the settlement price, with a high of 240.5 and a low at 230.5 for the 238.5. That for the lead option September contract. December, your harvest month, at 257.5 for the new crop on the high, the low at 55.5. Settlement price at $2.55 3/4. They were off one. And the March contract, 271.5. The high, the low at 69.5. A settlement price at $2.70. They finished off a half for the day. The May futures, 280. The high, low at 278 and a quarter.